This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yeah, we fresh off of Independence Day, talking barbecues and seafood, KD making his big independent move, and a bunch of whole lot of other deep diving. We going into some stuff, so you know what I'm saying, get your minds right and get ready to get in the conversation.
Deep diving. Get your waders.
Time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right hand side, I got
el testigo de todo importante, Vladimir Camaño.
It's only at the end of a corridor. But on the left-hand side, I got...
You got Ali Muhammad in here, the voice of your choice.
All right. What's going on, fellas? How we doing, man?
Oh, man. Everything good
Highlight
over here.
Highlight of my week, man. Highlight of my week.
Yeah, man. All right. That's what's up.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
That's good, man. It's been
Happy
a minute.
Happy 4th of July, fellas.
Happy 5th. Well, 6th. When the people hear this.
Yeah.
Happy post-Independence Day.
What happened? Anybody get some good barbecue out there?
I did a little bit of grilling and chilling.
Really?
Just a little bit.
At your crib?
Yeah, I did it on at your the crib and brought it up. On the stovetop grill.
Oh, okay,
and then
okay.
I brought it up. We went to the park later on. Okay, so it was a pre-grill, then post-chill.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was a good time because I was really on some real low-key shit. You know, mm-hmm. like... 4th of July and New Year's Eve are two dates where there's a lot of people like, yo, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are your plans? And I don't really always have. I'm late to the planning sometimes. So when I hear, what are your plans? There's a lot of expectation. And I was just like, I'm good. I just want to chill for a bit.
Right.
And then... And the lady was like, you know, we should get out in the world a little bit.
Enjoy some of the sunshine. I think that was a social media movement.
Oh, word?
It was like a get outside. I kept seeing all the New York girls posting, get outside.
Get outside. Well, it worked because I was outside with a New York girl. And we were eating grilled vittles in the park.
Vittles.
And a little bit of sauce to drink that little libations.
No doubt.
Bose speaker. We kept it low key, okay. Mellow. It was fun.
What park y'all was at?
Oh, we was at an undisclosed location. Tell you about that when we get off the mic. But it's a nice little spot. We gotta get a picnic blanket though. We was out there with the fitted sheet like some rookies.
Oh yeah.
Looking nervous.
Yeah.
But it was what it was, man. It was impromptu.
No doubt.
I know you was at in the Mecca.
I was in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? But on 4th of July yesterday, that was no work to be done.
Oh, right. That's
yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And me, Bevy took us over Kim Bondi's people's house.
Okay.
And they do a 4th of July Essence Fest, you know, family gathering.
Who's
every
Kim
year.
Bondi?
Kim Bondi is one of Bevy's best friends and travel buddies. She's okay. out, she's, you know what I'm saying? She's out on the internet. You can check out on all the social medias.
All right.
She could tell you better than I could tell you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's say you put it out there. We ain't know. We wanted to be acquainted.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Situation. Go do a Google search, kids.
Nah, and it was good because I wanted to shout her out because she, you know, allowed a stranger to come on through. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was a spread.
Yeah.
It wasn't a traditional barbecue situation. So yeah, it was like, you know what I'm saying.
Can you talk about it?
Yeah, it was like these charbroiled clams, oysters, charbroiled oysters. But these mugs was like 5-6 inches big.
Big ass oysters.
What they call A1 choice.
So wait, now when you char them, is it still slimy or do they do like a clam where you pick them out?
You know what I'm saying? He had like a, you know, he had some of them that had the Rockefeller on top, you know what I'm saying?
The
others had
the Rockefeller.
I don't know, man. I'm just talking about what they was putting in front of me,
you
man.
You see, I use terms.
Hey, man, they put it in front. Hey, this is the one with the Rockefeller.
What it look like? What's the Rockefeller? Talk
it
to
looked like, it kind of looked like spinach dip, but okay. I don't think it was spinach dip.
Okay.
And then the other one had cheese and, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It was a good situation.
So go ahead.
And then
what
he had the lobster and the salmon and the shrimp and the, you know what I mean?
Crab.
It wasn't no crab. Okay. It was lobster though.
Okay.
And it was dope situation.
That sounds
fly.
What I'm
saying? It was like, sounds, you know,
fantastic.
Sounds magnificent.
They did their, you know, I guess they family their yeah. family house out there, they gave it a name, you know what I'm saying, and kind of set it up like a little boutique type of hotel.
The name of the house?
Yeah, it was the B. Gentilly.
Oh, right. That's fly. That's very New Orleans.
You know, it's definitely New Orleans.
That's dope.
It was a great time, and I'm glad I was hosted. You know what I'm saying?
Kim is from New Orleans?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Bev was there. CJ came through.
Right.
Chris Latt was there. A couple other people from their side that I was just meeting.
Okay.
So it was a dope situation.
That's what's up, man.
You know what I'm saying? Real laid back after, you know, doing a whole lot of work and running around and, you know what I'm saying, in the mix.
I hear that. We're going to get into that, but Vlad, what you do for the 4th?
Well, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, and
we didn't know that.
You just sound so excited.
I tell you.
I'm in Los Angeles.
I'm in my Broom Closet Studios. Go ahead.
Therapist is telling me that. He's like, you don't sound excited at all.
At all.
I'm in Los Angeles, and you know, the brother still on the Uber budget.
Uh-huh.
And Uber was on surge for the entire 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Of the 4th?
Oh,
yeah. That's what they got to get their paper.
So my range was limited to walking distance.
Why you ain't go get you a zip car, a little Prius or something?
The traffic, well, you know, it was just madness. There was no parking, like, you know, it wasn't a good situation to be driving out here. All
right. So
if I was to be driving,
what you wind up doing?
I was hanging out with my friend of mine. We were hanging out. We ended up finding like some cool little restaurants. Chilled, ate, and then caught the noises of the fireworks.
Caught the who?
The noises.
Yeah, y'all made fireworks.
Nigga, you sound like you're reading a fucking. You sound like you're reading a sad poem right now, man. Come on, talk to us.
I mean, you're as vague as a politician over here.
The sounds of the fireworks.
We sound the fireworks. Where were you at?
Okay.
So you know, it was an audio version of it.
You ain't go look out the window or nothing.
From my view, you couldn't see no fireworks. You know, I knew this question was coming, and I was dreading it.
What
question about how was my July 4th?
Oh, wow, you had a bad 4th?
I thought you were the one that suggested this topic.
Yeah, exactly.
This is your suggestion.
I wanted to have Charlburg clams, but, you know, I couldn't get access to it.
So why was you dreading it if you put it on the sheet?
This is your shit.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want a lot of the people.
Well, then tell the people the story.
Oh, the story, I went to this little spot called in the morning, I went to Blue Jam.
All right.
Okay. What's that?
Blue Jam is a little brunch spot out here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
20-minute wait. And they make a cornflake crispy French toast.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard about this spot.
It's getting better.
Which is bananas.
There you go. Did you get that?
We got that.
Okay, there it is.
And then I also got a nice little French ham, eggs benedicto.
All right.
Okay.
Get that with a little six blend estate coffee.
Oh, okay.
All right. I don't even know it. What does that mean?
I don't know what it is either. But my waiter Jason told me it was six blends.
Oh, you took what was in front of you, like me.
Uh-huh. Rockefeller. Rockefeller, y'all.
Rockefeller.
All right.
And then I went to the spot for dinner. You ever heard of Fogo de Chão?
I think did you talk about this? Oh, that's the faux donut spot you used to about before, or no?
No, that's faux nuts. Faux nuts is the donut.
Faux nuts and faux go.
Okay. Faux show.
The chow is a Brazilian steakhouse.
Okay.
And you literally sit down and they just bring cuts of steak.
Oh, is it the joint we got to flip over the thing?
Yes.
Okay, so go ahead. Let's talk about it.
So the lamb chops were like delicious.
All right. This is all the same day.
All on the same day, yeah.
Oh, shit.
You was getting it in.
Yeah, no wonder, nigga. Your Uber budget was low. You was out balling.
Your Eat budget was on fleek.
Carnivorous.
Eat budget was on surge.
For the good days.
That's what's up, man. Vlad drunk to the motherfucker.
What the? What was that laugh?
That's my villain laugh, Ali.
Okay, you must have won.
My devilish laugh.
Okay,
What's up, man? Talk to the people, man. You wild cryptic with what you do. I think John listened to a whole other podcast. When is John over here?
John, what's up, John? Yeah, so I had a good time, man. Did some shopping too. I caught some of them sales.
All right.
Got some ties. Got some nice little shirts. Nice little. Got some jackets. Yo, I'm a big fan of this the Stan Smiths now, man. I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
You on trend?
Yeah, there you go.
You on trend?
I bought two pairs of the white ones, a little green on them. Very nice.
Yeah, the Newports.
Yeah. You can mess with them.
Looking very elegant.
What do they fall in your shoe lineup?
They may be like my new shoe because they white and they pretty much go with everything.
But they don't last that long.
They don't last that long. So I don't know.
You could wear them, B.
I think a Stan ages better than a most white, all white sneakers.
No doubt. Because, you know, you used to seeing them with a patina on it.
Yeah. Okay.
But so, that's mostly like, you know what I'm saying?
That's like a.
Like skinny model girls.
I always think it's a sneaker of leisure, right?
No doubt.
So if you doing some good leisure and your sneaker got a little patina on it, it don't matter because look at this good leisure you're doing.
Now, in a leisurely place, that works. Would you rock a patinaed Stan Smith in a hood spot?
Well, that's a whole different set of expectations. Now we're talking about competing in a different realm.
Oh, hey.
When we in the hood, things need to be crisp.
Crisp.
But
you got them on now.
I got them. Nah, but they don't have to be like brand spaghetti. Like, okay, for instance, like an Air Force One crisp low.
Mm-hmm.
That need to be crisp.
Right.
Once you get that first crease in it, it's pretty much a wrap. Okay. That's a disposable shoe.
Okay.
I hate to say that. That's one of those. We might have one or two days on this, so you need to make sure that this impacts where you need it.
Or you might start looking homeless.
Yeah, it's immediate. It's either ooh or a lot of concern. You know what I mean? So that's a strategic thing. Whereas I think a Stan can have a little bit of. Okay. You done walk to the store a couple times and it don't look horrible. Don't have it look horrible.
But if you in a leisurely place, if you in a vacation spot or Hamptons or upstate, right. you could get away with a whole lot of patina.
Exactly, especially that type of patina, some sand. my sneakers are sandy. I've been on the beach all weekend. Come on, how that sound?
You know what I mean?
That sound great. It's not gunfire blood.
No doubt.
Well, a patina.
That's a little wear.
Patina.
You know what I'm saying? That's when the wear settles in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To where you ain't even got to try to clean them no more. It's just part of the look.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, like a good wallet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Weathered.
Yeah. A good glove.
A good glove. A good leather glove.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, man. Have y'all heard of Jason Marks?
No.
Yeah, the sneaker cleaner dude.
Oh, yeah. You talked about him before.
Yeah, so I bought the wipes, the little wipes, and I bring them with me when I'm on the road. And you pull them out, man. You clean the shoe real quick.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
See, I'm rocking these Vans.
Yeah.
And they patina quick. And even if you tried to clean them, the Vans is hard to clean, boy.
Why? Because it's a canvas situation?
Whatever this rubber is.
It don't clean.
The dirt just settles in.
Really?
So it's just, you gotta rock with it.
But that lifestyle presents
that lifestyle affords you the luxury of a good, you know what I'm saying, patina van.
Exactly. That's part of the lifestyle.
That's part of it.
It's like when you go to, there's this thing they used to do called Camp Jeep. I think they still do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Camp Jeep was live.
So you go there, Camp Jeep was like a getaway for Jeep owners. It was like a week to a weekend type of thing where it's all types of events going on. There's all types of trails and
it's always somewhere out in a rural farm, on a farm or something like that.
Yeah, like in the mountains or the hills of deep Virginia or somewhere crazy. So
y'all did one in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, right. I remember you told me that. I remember you wasn't too excited to be going, neither.
No, I wasn't. I was like, you know.
But it was all right, though.
It turned out it was a nice hookup.
It was
a nice setup.
It never sounds that good till you get there. And you're like, all right. And it's another thing to be around people like, I don't want to call them zealots, but they love that.
Enthusiasts.
Because they weren't annoying. Sometimes enthusiasts could ride the line of where you're like, all right, I don't annoy him with this love for whatever you love in here. But at Camp Jeep, they were cool. But the thing about Camp Jeep is the pull-up, they would have all of the dirt and the mud and all of that on their Jeep, and it just made your Jeep look more like a Jeep. You came through with a regular shined up Jeep, it'd look nervous.
Right, your
Jeep had to look like it's been through something.
And it came to put in some work.
Exactly. Patina. Anyway, man.
I've never heard that word before, patina. That's a good one. I like that word. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, use it.
Take that.
You know, that's all about.
And that is, so, Ali, is it safe to say that the word patina is on fleek?
Could not be. So, you know, it's not a one-to-one situation because, you know, some patina might not be good. You know what I'm saying? Somebody might walk up to you, boy, yeah, he was looking kind of old in the face. Nah, he had a, it was just a little patina. So, you know.
They're being kind.
So, you know, it's not a one-to-one.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I was going to say something.
Somebody, I had my little fro picked out last week, Ali. I was at the club, and the little compliment is.
You had your what picked out?
Was like, huh? I had my fro picked out.
Your fro picked out.
And there's somebody said, oh, your fro is on fleek.
And what'd you say back?
I said, I caught off guard because I'm still learning how to use the word.
I thought we gave you a good lesson last week.
I know, but it was like one of those things where, like, I'm still learning. I was a little clumsy. He said, you know, it was two people. One girl said, you froze on fleek. And I hesitated and I said, thank you.
There you go. Shout out. Listen, man.
Man, you smoking that L.A. Good shot, that man. Listen,
man. Shout out to the woman, the young black woman who created the term fleek. I know y'all shouted her out last week. But the term fleek has got a bit of patina on it.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
And I think it was only brought up in the sense that she celebrated the 2-year anniversary of it.
No, I dig that, but I want to let Vlad know that fleek usage is well past. It's like grandfather status at this point, Vlad. That's a little
your
slang ain't on trend.
Yeah, you gotta make sure if you're gonna use it, it's very sparingly at the precise type of moment where it counts.
Almost with a sarcastic lilt to it.
Exactly.
One of those things.
So you saying he was sarcastic about my fro?
No, I don't know.
They could have been.
Could have been coming for you. Maybe he was a listener.
You know what I'm saying? Was you looking like wheelchair Dreamy?
Was your flow on? Did you feel your fro was off fleek?
Oh, no. I had a great fro.
Then maybe it was a sincere on fleek situation out there. But again.
It felt like a sincere fleek.
All right. Well, that's good.
All right. That's cool.
I felt his fleek was genuine.
Okay. It wasn't a faux fleek is what you're saying.
No, it wasn't. I felt like it didn't feel like a passive aggressive fleek.
Okay. Well, that's the worst type of fleek.
You know what I'm saying?
You know? But let's step off of fleek a bit. You know what I mean? Fleek sparingly.
Fleek out.
I won't fleek out. All right. Well, fleek what you want to do. Fleek how you feel. Kevin Durant.
KD.
KD.
Big KD.
How y'all feel about this?
I feel great.
Okay. Fantastic. Why? Tell us.
You know, I love Curry. I love Golden State. And I think he's a good addition to the squad.
Okay.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be totally honest with you. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I will say this though. I think it's funny to see how hard Stephen A went in on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it kind of takes away a bit of the legacy look.
Of his
legacy.
Because
the thing was, he was like one of the last, and I kind of made to be funny, I was like, he about to be Patrick Ewing. He gonna be loved, but he ain't gonna have no ring. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But he was beloved. Like Kevin Durant was loved out there. Like they, you know, right.
He was the franchise,
right? However, he hadn't been able to make it happen over there. So
they threw it away. They had it in the bag to get to the chip.
To the chip at least.
I don't know if they would have persevered, but shit.
This is the thing. Two things. One, so if you go to the Warriors and they win the chip, there might, you know, it seems like people are already saying it might be a little asterisk or whatever, because it's kind of like when LeBron went over to Miami.
But it's not even like that.
Because LeBron, because they weren't even proven?
Nah, because Miami, when LeBron went to Miami, they only won 40-something games, got knocked out in the first round.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't
like,
proven.
Right. It wasn't like he was going to a championship team that contended.
Right.
That knocked him out of the, it was like, it would be like him going to Boston the year that Boston knocked his ass out. You know what I'm saying?
I heard that too. A lot of people felt that was going on. I just felt like, I mean, like, I don't really care that much. And Durant's story has always kind of been, not always, but it's been recently that he couldn't close it.
Right.
It's kind of similar to how LeBron was a little bit.
Right.
But it was like, I thought Russell Westbrook, I thought they had a
they
night.
Were contenders.
They had a good
they were
squad.
Contenders.
But then there's the other thing that a lot of people feel like it wasn't clearly Durant's team all the time.
Because Westbrook wasn't going to let it be Durant's team.
So it's kind of like, you know, well, shit.
And this not going to be his team by far. But see, I think that's where they're definitely going to be a super team, and it's hard to imagine how they could be beaten. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I think Durant is bringing a whole another psychology to the team. Because before it was like all of these kind of guys who were all working hard, you know what I'm saying, rising up together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No clear standout superstar.
Right.
With Curry was the one that they was pumping up. But then it was still shown that Klay Thompson could come through and
Draymond
save the day. Draymond. Iguodala was MVP of the finals last year. You know what I'm saying? So they were all like rising up together.
Right.
I think KD is bringing a whole another dynamic to that team that they haven't seen yet.
Like what? What do you mean?
Because he's coming in as a superstar, one. He's coming in with Nike on his back.
Okay.
So you know how hard they go with their marketing for their people, which in this case is a great thing for Nike because Curry is an Under Armour dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they can kind of steal a whole lot of Curry's thunder from Under Armour by coming in with that big Nike money and putting it on KD's back as he enters a bigger market with a bigger audience on a bigger platform than he was in OKC. So with Curry is going to have to take a step down. Klay Thompson was rising up as in his star power, you know what I'm saying, for basically saving the games when Curry was falling back. And I don't think that's going to have the same dynamic no more with somebody like KD.
Why do you think Curry needs to take a step down?
I didn't say he needs to take a step down. I think he will. Because he's no KD.
But, what does that mean, though? What is KD?
That means if big dog come in the room, the little dog's going to have to, you know what I'm saying, spread out a little
but
bit.
But is KD a big dog with no rings?
Yes, KD's a big dog.
Really? I don't see this. Is again, I'm going to keep him 100 with you. I don't follow sports like that. I know he's a big deal. But if you coming on a squad where this kid, Curry done had two great seasons.
No doubt.
Great propaganda for his. People was talking about him like he was. They was comparing him to Jordan.
They never
compared KD to Jordan.
Now look at Curry's check and look at KD's check.
That's a whole different type
of thing.
Okay,
that's going to play into it. You know what I'm saying? You knocked down 400 threes in one season.
Right, but that's all in the
and you're making $11 million. This cat coming in and about to be crushing, you know what I'm saying, 20-something million a year. On 2 years, $54 million over 2 years.
But you couldn't do it.
He did it. He had already done it.
He never won no ring.
Who?
I'm talking about KD.
But he got the check.
No, but the check is whatever. Now the check might even be a question.
No, it's not. It's never going to be a question. The check is there. His Nike check is stupendous.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He coming in as a big dog. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody on that team got the marketing
that's
power of KD.
That's not going to be KD's team. I don't
that's
think
how could, this, that, what you think the optics going to look like?
I don't.
What
I
you
don't,
think the Nike optics going
to
look like?
The Nike optics are going to try to reshape the thing.
They're definitely going to reshape the thing.
I don't think it's going to look like KD's team.
Okay.
Why would it? I could see if he was coming over as the man.
Okay. You know how much Nike put into their athletes,
know that.
Right?
I know
and
that.
When they do they commercials, they legacy commercials and shit like that for KD, they can't put the rest of the team in that motherfucker.
No, that's one thing. That's one thing. But
who going to get the big giant billboard? next to the goddamn moms.
They, didn't they give Steph Curry? Didn't I know give Steph Curry some mean check too? He got a mean check.
Not a KD check. Though.
I think it's bigger than KD.
He ain't got no KD check. Remember,
Under Armour offered KD a check, and I think they gave it to Steph Curry.
They didn't give it to Steph Curry. Under Armour offered KD $300 million, and then Nike came and trumped it.
See, we sound too businessed up right now. But I'm gonna say this.
That's what plays into it. When you come into the locker room and this man, he pull up, you done looking at him like, you still looking at your little $11 million. That's you know what I'm saying? I already see in like Steph, you know what I'm saying? His psychology is still strengthening up. It is not all the way there yet.
I see what you're saying. You saying he not ready to be the man.
Not saying that he not ready to be the man. I don't think
he'll defer easily to KD.
Not even that. I just think his psychology is a little fragile.
What does that mean, though?
That means when they start putting the pressure on him, he wasn't stepping up like the big dog.
And you think KD?
I think in the locker room, not even on the court. This is locker room. I think a lot of that locker room psychology counts when it comes time to get a chip. It's like when LeBron was in Cleveland and they had nobody. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And then different things started happening within the locker room. Yeah. That affected, you know what I'm saying, how he felt about playing with these cats that he playing with.
I'm sure about that. But now if we come in with KD, who had some trouble establishing himself.
He didn't have no trouble establishing himself.
As the lead man on the Thunder, like, as the one that people got to, you know, Kevin, he's never been trash. He's always been that guy. But when it was like, is it his team or not? Is it Russell Westbrook's team or is it Kevin Durant's team? And then when it's time, it would be times where it looked like Durant would kind of fizzle out and fucking Westbrook would have to put that shit on.
No doubt. And it's time when Westbrook totally fizzled out. And KD had on his back.
I just feel like, Nike, obviously, they go put a lot of money behind the man and how it looks to people. But I feel like initially,
right,
everybody's looking at, yo, this man is going over there. He's leaving this situation over mm-hmm. here. And he's going to a proven winning team mm-hmm. to get his ring. I can't see how that looks that great on the legacy.
I'm not even talking about his legacy because he still got to win the rings.
Yeah.
They still got to win the chip.
Right.
With him on the team.
Okay.
You know, all I'm saying is I think it does something to the dynamics of the team. You know what I'm saying? It's like this is totally different. This, you know what I'm saying, has nothing to do. It's not NBA, but just on a smaller level on my son's team in AAU.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? They had a player, he was the dopest player I had seen at that age.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just killing shit. But it was like he would bring another dynamic to the team when he was in there. He would definitely score a lot of points. He'd definitely get a lot of steals. But then sometimes when we get to the important games, we still don't win mm-hmm. because they put a lot of pressure on him. You know what I'm saying? When he's not in the game,
mm-hmm.
when he, you know, has a mental breakdown and, you know what I'm saying, throws a tantrum and he's sitting on the bench,
mm-hmm.
the team play a whole lot better together
mm-hmm.
without them than they did with them. And it's all psychology. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is that those guys coming up together, they felt, from the outside looking in, it felt like they were coming up together as a unit
mm-hmm.
and doing something that was special to the group. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And KD brings a dynamic of, oh, he just riding off of what we built, one. And then he comes in, he's going to get the check. He's going to come in with all this flashy Nike marketing. You know what I'm saying? How does that affect the rest of the team in the locker room? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were saying he's going to come over there and become the man.
I'm saying it messes up the dynamic of the team.
You said there's going to be some discord in there.
Not in saying that it is. I'm saying that's possible. Man. That's possible because humans are human. And everybody's playing for their, you know what I'm saying, for their, like, they shine.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot of shine that need to go around and on that team.
But I don't think that Steph is not going to get some money. I mean,
he's going to get some money. He might go to another team to get it.
Not this cycle,
yeah. But when he becomes a free agent next year or the year after, it's going to be a question.
Okay.
A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place. Just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
I was just thinking about all this stuff because I would imagine, Ali, that Steve Kerr had to have these conversations prior to even bringing them on, though.
Yeah, conversations is different than when you in the locker room with a cat and then Nike just put up a 100-foot billboard of him. And you got to ride past that motherfucker every day.
It's all egos, but Kerr did play with Mike, though. I feel like he had some experience with the big dog.
You know what, though?
But Kerr ain't on the court.
I mean, I'm sure...
He knows the psychology of a big dog, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows that psychology. And he was a guard himself.
I'm kind of curious, too, and I wonder, I mean, this is probably all behind-the-scenes shit, and the deal probably went through if it hadn't lined up. But I wonder, since Steph is seen to be the star of that team prior to this, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got that big Under Armour contract. I wonder if Under Armour bought into certain, like, positioning as far as ads go, where it's like, we got this for the next 15 years. We got this for X amount of years.
Because Nike got the whole NBA uniform situation next year.
No, I understand the NBA uniform, but I'm talking about as far as like stadiums and things like that and all that other shit. Do they have first position, being that they've been there long? Do they have like a grandfather clause? It's like, we got 10 years with this arena or whatever, because that could limit what Nike can do. Obviously, Nike's still going to do some shit and penetrate. But if it's like, yo, dog, we got that big-ass sign out front
right
until 2024. Mm. So that shit's always going to say Under Armour. It could say Nike everywhere else.
It could be something like that.
Yeah, because come on.
But you know, Nike ain't playing fair at all.
Well, that's going to be interesting because more than fucking Steph and Kevin Durant, is going to be a beef between Nike and Under Armour.
No doubt, but who?
That's going to be interesting,
too. But that's the whole thing, is that, like I said, Nike's getting the NBA contract for the 2017 for the next 8 years after that. You know what I'm saying? They already know what it is with Under Armour. And I think Kevin Durant being at Golden State kind of takes away from Under Armour's biggest star. I think it diffuses it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I think it brings it down a notch. Because now he has to share that same stage with one of their biggest athletes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's interesting.
It's a great point. I didn't even think about that angle.
I don't know.
But you know what I'm saying? A lot of that plays into it. And it might be one of the things that you know, leaned him towards that team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then you got your boy Derek went to the Knicks.
Yeah, Derrick Rose is at the Knicks and Joakim Noah. And I think there's little rumblings that they're trying to get Dwayne Wade, but I don't think that's going to happen.
D-Wade.
But what y'all think about Derrick Rose coming to the Knicks?
Oh, my God, man. I think
it's a good chance for himself to redeem himself. I think he's going to play with a whole lot more passion. I think he's going to play mad, you know what I'm saying, with a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The whole organization has a lot to prove. And, you know what I'm saying, if he can stay healthy, I think it'll be a good thing for him and the team. I think it'll spark, you know what I'm saying, some excitement in the team if he's healthy.
Mm.
Because he's not a whack player at all.
No, he's not. He's just not healthy consistently.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So if he's healthy, you know what I'm saying, and he plays with some explosiveness, I think, you know, it'll bring some excitement back to the Garden.
Hmm.
You don't sound like that.
I said, I just hope he can stay healthy because the memes that go around about Derrick Rose's health is.
Did you see the one with the Jordans on his knees?
Yes, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I mean, you know, man. Look, man. I believe it when I see it. You know, I think the thing about the Knicks though is beyond the Rangers. I always say the Knicks are the only team in New York that plays in Manhattan. So if you go to Manhattan to go see the Knicks play, it's already a good night. If they win, it's even better. But you went to the big city, you was in the Garden, you had a good time. It's probably somebody famous there. You might have seen Spike. Even because they haven't won in over 40 years. They haven't won the chip in over 40 years. That was almost the best thing about the OJ documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Was to see the Knicks in the finals again. Like, look at this shit. You know what I mean?
Hilarious.
But I keep my expectations very managed when it comes to that. You know what I mean? When it comes to the Knicks, it will be cool. It'll be interesting. You know, I'm seeing, you know, Derrick Rose got his own set of fans, you know what I mean? And that's resonating, you know what I mean? It's moving over, but I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. It would be cool to see them in the playoff, but I'd be surprised if the Knicks made a fucking, if they won the championship next year.
Win a championship.
That's what we need. Being in the playoffs is cool.
Man, we got to.
New York want to win a championship to feel like we're still in it.
First things first. I pop up.
It's 0-2.
Need to get to the deep in the playoffs first.
Man, yeah.
You think Derrick Rose and them going to beat Curry,
KD? Nah, I mean, it could be tough.
Even with Discord, they have run through them.
Well, they said if Wade was there, so what's that? Wade, Carmelo, what's my man's name?
Rose.
Porzingis. And listen, man. Again, the shit sound like a long shot. You know what I mean? But it's always been a long shot for the Knicks. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Like, it's cool for Rose. It's cool for what I heard somebody. It's cool to say some shit. Like, Rose is still, he's still a star. You know what I mean? It's going to give a bit of excitement until we start calling him a bum or still we get disgruntled.
First two losses is going to be. That's what it's going to be.
We got a lot of people that's like, we still got Phil Jackson at the Knicks, and we looked at him like, oh, Phil Jackson's going to change this whole shit. Fuck no. Phil Jackson not changed shit. Like, it is what it is. The Knicks is what it is.
Now y'all calling Phil Jackson a bum.
No, because you know why? Because he, and I look, dog, and I'm a New York, I'm not a super sports fan, but I'm a New Yorker, so I'm a Knicks fan, right? But when I see athletes that might still have it in them, like when it was rumors of LeBron coming to New York, I'm like, LeBron, my fam, don't do it. Because I don't think the culture is a winning culture. I don't think, like I said before, it's still a night at the Garden, 34th Street in Manhattan, having a good time. It don't matter if they win or lose. I ain't go all the way to the Bronx. You go all the way to the Bronx to see the Yankees, that's why their culture's different. The fucking Yankees don't make it to the playoffs. Somebody gets fired because the Yankees have to be a winning-ass team because you trap like they created something. Well, you already in the city. Go have that. Go have a drink. Then go to a restaurant. It's a fucking beautiful night. They don't have to win. If they win, it's even better. Oh, shit, guess what? Fucking Knicks won. You know what I mean? Like, come on. I love the Knicks, but that's because that's New York. I love New York. But I understand where we stand. You know what I'm saying? The culture don't seem like they galvanized for it. You know, that's just how I feel. I'm sure cats are going to be like, the fuck out of here with that
Spike
shit.
Spike Lee might slap you right now.
Nah, man. I hope Spike couldn't get nothing off with you standing
no,
over
nah,
there.
No, nah, nah. You know, Spike ain't going to get nothing off, but I'm just saying his sentiment would be.
Man, Spike even though. Dude, if besides Melo and Porzingis, and maybe Porzingis and casual wear, if four of the Knicks came, four of the starting five walked in here right now, I couldn't tell you who was who. I couldn't tell you who was on the Knicks. I couldn't tell you who was up. Vlad, name three Knicks starters without using Google.
I can't do it.
See? It's just what it is.
Melo, Shumpert, and JR.
Nope. You know Shumpert.
I know. Yeah. Those are the last Knicks I knew.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I mean, Vlad, what do you think? Derrick Rose obviously said the memes, but how you feel? Are you a Knicks fan? And what do you think? What do you think about the Knicks and the winning expectation in New York City?
Well, it's funny because I've been watching a lot of 30 for 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And 30 for 30 be having you feel like you're an intellectual about sports topics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was watching the one about the Buffalo Bills.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny how, like, the culture of a sports team influences the culture of the community.
Right. Or vice versa.
Like, we just look so dysfunctional on the big stage right now, you know? And I don't know if it's Dolan's fault, you know? I think New Yorkers, it almost feels like the Knicks have to keep this thing of, like, we got to be, like, brutes, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't feel like we sophisticated. And we got to change that, dude. Like, I think it's time for, like, I agree. I think Dolan needs, we need a cultural shift, dude. Because right now, we look, what's the word I'm looking for? We look look like unsophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better term.
Like bums?
That's what he wanted to say. That's what I was. I didn't want to put the word. Like bums?
What's a sophisticated sports team?
Like, well, for example, like when you watch the Golden State Warriors, you know, you referenced it earlier about how they all came up together.
Mm-hmm.
There's something like that's like the Golden State makes you feel good.
That's what winning make you sophisticated, I suppose, because they look like bums. I mean, they look like bums before that.
But the winning is a byproduct of how they gel as a team.
Right, but they weren't like, no sophisticated when Sprewell was choking out the coach.
And they made a change. They made a change.
That took a decade, you know, though.
You know, PJ Carlissimo, you know, he had to get choked a little bit.
I see what you said on a certain. I feel like certain teams, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's.
Winning like, make you shine.
Winning. Not even just winning, but I think that there are people that identify themselves, like from the door, look, you can expect a championship this season. Or they'll say, we're going to do, like, there's somebody that's like, I'm accountable for how you guys feel about this team this year, and we're going to do our best. Like, I feel like there's somebody on all the teams. I feel like at the Knicks, nobody really wants to be that person.
Nobody's that job.
Nah, Phil don't really even, he like, listen, man, I ain't the coach.
That was Isaiah Thomas' job.
Exactly. Nobody's out there. The Dolans, nobody said, listen, guys. As the New York Knicks organization meet, like when you look at it, like a Mark Cuban becomes the guy. Like Spike Lee is the guy for the Knicks, and he ain't got nothing to do with what's going on. But that's who's gonna have to take the interview. Yo, why the Knicks trash, Spike? He gotta come talk about it. I don't know.
Spike is probably more, you know, notable than.
We ain't had nobody since we're like Pat Riley. When we felt like, when it was like, oh, shit. I mean, right. What was my man? Van Gundy was all right, but Pat Riley felt like.
He felt sophisticated.
Hell yeah. He had a pinky ring. He had a shit.
He felt slick back. Tied.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Anyway. It's just like, you know, like to me, like, I look at the Yankees, for example. Like, I was talking to my dad about this.
Yeah.
And the Yankees at one point represented like a blue-collar team. You know, Mattingly and all those guys, and even if they lost, you would still feel good about your team.
Yeah, like, I mean, they
represent us.
Never.
They had a bit of cachet. However,
like, when the Knicks lose, it's almost like you're disappointed for them. Like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah,
like you almost want to disassociate yourself from them.
Why? It's your team.
Because you look at them and go, what are we doing? You know, in certain situations. Whereas when I was growing up and the Yankees were playing, you know, they would lose, but you would still go, you know, we're the Yankees. We lost, but we fought the good fight. It feels like we're not fighting the good fight right now.
Well, Cats used to also get fired too, like publicly. This guy's out of here.
But see, that's the thing with New York sports is like, y'all, it's the number one media market.
Right.
And the newspapers here, they go hard on the sports.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you mess up a game, you on that back page, like, you know what I'm saying? They calling you out. They got the big bowl. They inciting that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to grow in this city. Like, you either winning or you're losing.
But when you win and it feels so good, it make you not want to lose. It's kind of like, certain rooms, certain clubs, they might not be the best for comedy. But when you could win in that room, you feel that shit. You know what I'm saying? And when you lose in that room, you feel that shit. So you want to stay invested and win. Like, you want to win like a motherfucker.
Yeah, but if you're not winning, it's hard to get to winning because they are creating discord.
But I think there's no...
Daily.
I think you could still be the man and not be a winner in New York. Like, if you on the... That's the thing.
That's like Melo is the man.
That's what I'm saying.
And he not winning.
Nah.
But he, you know, he handles it better than Geno Smith did.
Yeah, that's even different.
Geno Smith didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing. Again, difference? He playing for the
Jets.
Yeah, but that's different. That's out in Queens. That's like,
what you mean, it's out in Queens? It's New York City football.
It's not the Jets. No, because the Jets is also second to the Giants. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at perception, we talk about optics.
I understand. Geno's, but at the same time, it's a New York team.
And also, Melo got a little bit, like, He was Brooklyn. He won for
he what was from his Brooklyn.
No, he's from Brooklyn Baltimore. Originally.
He was born in Brooklyn.
Yeah. But then he also has the Orange Man. He got the Syracuse title.
Okay.
Like, he got a little bit more good where he had the La La City. Like, he was a little bit more culturally. Like, Geno Smith don't got no real profile before being a Jets player.
Well, I'm just saying, as a player, any player, I just use Geno as an example. Any player comes into the city and plays on the team as a leader of the team, they are subject to that ridicule from the back page of those sports papers, which drives the public perception of how the team is, you know what I'm saying, going to do or will do.
But I'm back to the whole thing. You can't put Geno up against
I wasn't putting Geno up against Melo. I was putting Geno up against the media.
But my main point is, when you, and it's a media driven city, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are more likely to go to the Garden than they're going to go to fucking see the Jets.
Okay, I understand that.
So
but
Melo's
there's more people
already,
that go see the Jets than that could fit in the Garden.
Yeah, but if we're talking about prestige and who's getting a little bit more look.
Yeah, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
that's how, my point for why then. That's why I always said that. That's why the Knicks are. They don't need to be all of that. You could be kind of subpar as a Knick and still be the man in New
and
York.
And you still get drug.
Yeah, but still, like, but you still get beloved.
Y'all love Melo.
He get love.
You love Melo?
Again, man, I'm not the biggest sports fan. I fuck with Melo.
Vlad, you love Melo?
No, I fuck with Melo. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that feel like he should be going. There's people that are like, yo, nah. And I just don't like talking this type of, this deep with sports, because, again, I'm not the sports guy. All right, so,
but we here now. We can't back out. We in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't no Knicks fan. I ain't no New York sports fan, but I just fuck with Melo because I think he a cool cat.
Yeah.
You know
okay, yeah, he a cool dude, but then it's like when
and I don't care if he win or lose because I don't care about.
But you not from New York, you a Miami guy,
right?
See, but then that don't there's no real investment in it.
No, it's not.
You know
but
what
I like
and
Melo.
You've seen the Heat win championships and in your lifetime,
but you know what I'm saying, the Dolphins, I haven't.
They ain't won that since you been alive.
No, I mean the year I was born was the year the last time they won.
All right.
Some shit like that.
I mean, that isn't.
Is the Dolphins the equivalent to the Knicks in Miami? Or what's Miami sports game like?
The Dolphins. We didn't have a basketball team.
Right.
We didn't have a baseball team.
So it was always Dolphins.
It was the University of Miami.
Marino.
And the Dolphins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then later in the 90s, we got the Heat.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember that.
And then the Marlins or vice versa.
So do people still, like, how do y'all feel about the Dolphins now in 2016?
I don't live in Miami.
You know people from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Dolphins are going to love Dolphins, but they know they're going to get their heart broke. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
It's like
Heartbreak City. You know what I'm saying? And everybody waiting on the UM to come back. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to root for UM regardless.
Man.
Because they were the dynasty.
And that was when you were alive. You got to
that
see
was, yeah, that
of
was all through. That was all through, you know what I'm saying? That was my coming up years.
Okay.
Was UM, was killing shit.
Okay.
So they were the, you know, they were the titans of the city, even though they were just college students. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, everybody, you know, Marino, you know, you had, you know, all your players on the team you was fans of, but, you know, it was just still Heartbreak City.
Yeah.
Like, Marino is that dude with no chip.
Yeah.
That got all the records.
Ain't he the winningest still?
Yeah.
Might not be no more. I think Brady might.
The throwing in this, the, you know what I'm saying? But he just ain't got no chip.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
Is it?
a little bit when it goes down. It is what it is.
Right.
It is what it is. I mean, he's still the man out there. But when it comes down to it, when they have those real deal conversations, when they start talking chip talk,
uh-huh.
And they say, "Hey, Marine, sorry, this is for champs.
This chip talk.
This is chip talk.
That's what's messing everybody up. That chip talk.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying like that's why cats making the moves they making. They trying to get that chip. They trying to cement their legacy.
Right.
And LeBron got these cats on their bread, too.
Yeah, which you know is not saying? A bad thing.
Like doing them deals where you get all your bread. See, Steph ain't got that deal yet. He going to be thinking about that shit when his free agency come up.
Yeah. I know it's a lot of motherfuckers getting money right now, though.
Exactly.
It's a cash-out situation. It's, people that are, wow.
You know what I'm saying? If you going to trade me and throw me to the wayside when I'm done, at least I'm going to be paid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's cool. That's cool to see. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens, man.
But that's what LeBron is on.
get money.
Get, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna sign 1 year.
Well, that's what I've heard. That's what I was listening to. Shout out to Shelter Charlemagne. I was listening to the Brilliant Idiots. They had a kid. I don't know his last name. Amin, one of them dudes from ESPN. And he was saying that's the deal with Melo is that's why he's probably not gonna go anywhere because whatever happens, if he gets a chip or not, which probably may not, but if he gets a chip or not, he's in New York. He's around all of this business. Mm-hmm. He's going to become like a sophisticated businessman.
He already is.
You know what I mean? But like that's more about, that is becoming more of the legacy for a lot of cats. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, and that, again, that's back, now you're in Manhattan, you're in financial capital. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense, but it would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
If you got these motherfuckers a chip.
That's what KD talking about, man.
He
got
about?
All the deals. He got everything in place. He got one of the selling the shoes in the game. He ain't got that chip to make all the rest of it easier. You know what I'm saying? He going to a bigger market with a chance to get that chip and expound the rest of his money, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Speaking of money.
This is a long-ass Apple, sports talk.
Apple talking about buying Title.
Yeah, I saw that.
What y'all think about that? Title haters?
I ain't no Title hater. I don't fuck with none of this stuff. I don't fuck with Apple Music or Title. I'm old school, off the hard drive. It don't really made much difference to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, so if you look at it one way, since Title's been like personalized, it's like Hove's thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's another...
Another win
for Hove. See, Hove getting wins. And it's not even a surprise. It's just like, damn, this nigga be winning big. Okay, this is a right. big check. He did that. But then on the other hand, and again, like I don't want to say I'm emotionally connected on either way, but there was this thing in how it was rolled out, even though a lot of people felt that the rollout was problematic at times because of when it happened timing-wise. But it was something to the story of artists are empowered, right? Mm-hmm. Now y'all got some equity in this, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be artist-centric, blah, 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 blah. We're going to change the business. And that's kind of cool. So if you want to change the business, is it just for that quick couple seasons and cash out? Or is the tonality still going to remain? Is it still going to what's going to happen? Like, that's what I'm curious about.
My take on it, I mean.
I'm curious at all.
It's the way to, another way to look at it is that they are changing. If you got Tidal and Apple together, that automatically make them number two under Spotify, right? They both have a great rapport with artists because you got Jimmy Iovine over there running Apple Music, who's from Interscope. And then you got Hove, who was an artist and who was running his own Def Jam. So you got, you know what I'm saying, basically music people running tech companies for music.
Right.
And when you put them both together, one, the old school labels are going to have to negotiate harder because it's not as many platforms. You know what I'm saying? So now the strength goes more to the streaming services than it does to the labels. So now if the Apple Title, whatever, decides they don't want to really play ball with the labels like that, then the label's going to get squeezed. You know what I'm saying? They've already proven with Apple that artists can go directly there and get bread through how Drake got his $20 million deal over there, dropped the Future project through there. You know what I'm saying? Chance the Rapper, you know what I'm saying, ain't got no deal and being pumped by Apple. And he's experiencing Billboard charting success with no label. So when you put them both together, it changes the game a whole lot.
In what way? Meaning,
like I'm saying, you have now the power
to got more leverage.
You got one as an artist, you have the power to put your music on a platform, and basically they the new label. You know what I'm saying? That's what it would become. You put your artist in this platform, you skip the label, you get them their little distribution fee or whatever, and you move on. You don't have the people in your business. That's what Chance is doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Even with Drake, with the label, he's probably making way more money just doing the Apple deal than he did with the label.
Why is that?
Because, one, they gave him $20 million up front. That's not you know what I'm saying, recoupable through all the other expenses for that the label charge you. Two, they paying for a lot of the marketing, all them ads and Apple Music commercials, Apple paying for. The whole Hotline Bling video was paid for by Apple. You know what I'm saying? So you in a situation to where they're using him as an artist to push the platform, but he's using them as well to get it off and get that cheese up.
No, I hear that, but that's like one guy.
That's not one guy. Chance the Rapper's another. It's plenty of other guys, even down to Justine Skye. Justine Skye, she's a blip on the radar right now, but she got a billboard, her Apple Music Beats billboard in the middle of Times Square. You know what I'm saying? So it's giving different opportunities.
Do you think? But see, that's the thing. Now we're getting into the weeds of all of it because I doubt that everybody's getting similar opportunities.
No,
and my question is, how do we know artist for artist if you can get a better opportunity at a label than if you get it over at the new label, which would be Apple Tidal?
Well, we definitely know if you go on new artists at a label, your deal ain't gonna be like that good. You know what I'm saying? You also know that any artist can put their music up on these platforms, at least on Apple. You know what I'm saying? Any artist. Now, how you pushing it and do you get the push behind you? That's another question. But as a company, it's still a better situation if you only breaking off a little piece than you in a side of a 360 situation where the label owns basically all what you're doing. That's if you're able to own your own music and your own thing and put it out and have an audience to put it out to, that's always going to be 100 times better than not owning none of your shit.
Is that what's going on in Apple, or you think they got 360s over there?
No, I ain't got no 360s over there because it ain't a label yet. Yeah. It's not a label. You put your shit up, you go. You know what I'm saying? They can't have a 360 on Drake because he signed the Cash Money.
I'm talking about some of these new people.
The new artists, you just put your artists on. You put your music up. Chance, they putting behind him because he got a good little momentum.
He had his own momentum.
And he associated with Ye. So, you know what I'm saying? He not signed to them. Mm-hmm. It's a service. That, of in this particular situation, is not contractually binded to, you know what I'm saying, owning his music. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time, it's when it's, you know, like a label, but at the same time, it's like the radio station as well. So you're knocking two birds out with one stone, where in radio now, it's so corporate, that's why you're only hearing eight songs. You know what I'm saying? So I think it is. It could change the game.
Nigga, I'm confused right now. I don't even know. Honestly, I'm being honest with you, I'm confused. And honestly, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I hate to say it. I don't care, man. It's like, that's the one thing, like, that's funny with music. And I'm not going to say that's, like, music isn't exciting. But, I don't know, maybe just for me personally speaking, I don't see what's that. I mean, it's not that exciting to me. Apple buying Tidal or Tidal buying Apple. I liked what, and again, like I said, it was personalized with it looking like Jay-Z's label. So it was like, even if you could kind of care a little bit, it was like, oh, they were promoting, yo, these artists, and identifying whatever 12 artists or 10 artists was on that stage. These artists are ambassadors at this label. They're going to be getting a lot of equity, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And then, but at the same time, it was a bunch of rich people that was just about to be richer. I don't know how this impacts, I don't know how it's going to impact all these other artists.
But if you're looking at, as a content creator, I'm looking at the platform itself. Go ahead. And it definitely opens up a plethora of opportunities for somebody who got content and is hustling it. Money and Violence wasn't no rich cats. The title gave them a platform.
Right.
And that's the only reason I kept the $9.99 subscription, so I could see Money and Violence. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? It was a bonus when they had the Prince catalog. You know what I'm saying? That was a bonus, but I kept it initially because I was watching Money and Violence, and I didn't want to wait the 2 weeks to see it on YouTube.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So That's just little baby steps in what could be. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so,
I hear that. But so, it's like a label turned into a new label.
But it's, right? It is not a label. That's the whole thing.
But that's the closest comparison, because you even called that this is the new label.
It'll
be like Interscope and Def Jam is now will be Apple Tidal, right? So that's like the new What is that? The new spirit of what a label was, right?
It's a new way to get to your audience. And that's all as an artist, as a content creator, as you looking at how can I get to my audience the most efficient way. And right now, streaming, of course, is looking like what the future is going to look like as far as getting your content to the audience. We right now on a network that's getting our content to an audience.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying? But we still, even on our level, we still got to do, at this point, a lot of the work until until we're proven to be someone worth investing in, similar like to the Chance. Well, like Chance had been grinding for a while prior to this Apple deal, and it was kind of in Apple's best interest, not in the best interest, but it was a good way to get some cachet and go into business with somebody that's been so successful but vocally against labels. Let's figure out a way we could partner with it to where it sounds good for every, you know what I mean?
But what more could you ask for? It's always going to be work. It's going to be, even when you sign, it's never going to not be work. It's going to be work. It's going to be a grind. Ain't nobody going to come in and say, hey, here it is. Here's the package that's going to save your whole situation. Nah, you got to grind. And having the opportunity to shoot in the same range as some of the other people who have money behind them, that's a great opportunity.
But they got money behind them too.
All I'm saying is you as a person with no money behind you could have the same opportunity to get your shit in front of people. Then a few years ago, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but you got to understand, a regular person that's on Apple Music, a Chance the Rapper, there's money behind that.
But if you're a regular person on Apple Music and you're a Chance the Rapper, of course, you're in two different spectrums,
right?
Tax brackets, budgets, all of that. The point is, no matter what, if you got an audience of 10 and nowhere to reach them, then you're definitely scarred. But if you got an audience of 10 and you can reach 10 and have a possibility of reaching 15, then your job is moving. You got some excitement. You have a trap to trap out of. That's the bando for you. Everybody's not going to be big time selling bricks. Some people going to be selling nicks. And you know what I'm saying? You got to be able to get out there and do what you got to do, because that's what the game about, man. You just need the opportunity. And that was the missing link.
What's the missing link? The opportunity,
I'm saying before the missing link, you either had to have a lot of cheese or you had to go through the gatekeepers. That ain't the case as much no more. That's all I'm saying. And these platforms, the more that they consolidate and organize the situation and build the audiences, so if you could go, you know what I'm saying, from nowhere to somewhere, that's the big opportunity. That's just from my perspective.
I care
about that shit because I see it and I'm in it. And that shit is exciting to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's my business.
I hear what you're saying.
So that's all.
But that's my point. I'm just trying to figure out if it's all new opportunities. It's all an opportunity, but it just doesn't look that much different than a label situation for everyone involved. Maybe for the people at the top. That's what I'm saying. So it's like when you keep saying like they're giving you this opportunity to reach the people, the label gave you an opportunity to reach the people too. But it might have been a different
everybody
penalty.
Can't sign to the label.
No, but
everybody can put their music up on iTunes. Everybody. This podcast on iTunes.
Okay.
Def Jam wasn't signing this podcast.
You said what?
Def Jam wasn't signing this podcast, but this podcast right now is on iTunes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But it ain't
if we had to wait for Def Jam to sign us, we'd be on the corner doing this podcast.
I don't know. I mean, we had sound. It's still about building your audience to the point where, like, just because we on iTunes, niggas over at Apple is like, yo, in the conversations on iTunes, let's start moving some energy towards them until we do something to make them.
But that's
be like,
the whole point. You have the opportunity to build that.
But we always got the opportunity. This ain't no new.
Not if you don't have no platform.
All right. Well, I think what we saying is there's always been platforms. There's platforms.
I'm saying that this
might be a better.
I'm saying that this is an exciting time where these things are opening up and making it more, you know what I'm saying, of a democracy in the situation. The hustle lanes are opening up, and if you could see them, you could jump in them while they early. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna close down at a certain point, but right now, the hustle lanes are open. Just like if in 91, if you had $100,000 and you could do a label, you know what I'm saying? There was the lanes open because people were getting more into the independent movement at that time. You know what I'm saying? And right now, if you got SoundCloud, if you got this and that, You know what I'm saying? You had an opportunity to drop that record and get it to some people. You know what I'm saying? And we're seeing that more and more every day. That's all. I just think it's exciting.
I don't see the difference. I don't see the difference from yesterday. That's what I'm saying. I just see it as it's just a merger of opportunities. I don't think the opportunities switched up or got even greater within like the last, like this speculation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That speculation, that it hasn't happened. But if it happens, that's a different ball game for the game. That's a different ball game for the labels. That's going to change the economics. But that's, you know what I'm saying? That's you know, so that's another kind of talk.
Nah, that's what's up. That was deep. We got into. I'm still very confused a little bit on it, but you know what I mean?
I'm not really trying to make it non-confusing. I'm just stating my part. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to make it non-confusing. I don't know how to make anybody else understand. I'm just speaking on what I see.
You're excited about it.
I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited. I'm trying to run the lanes. That's all. All
right. Hustle lanes
are open. And if you out there, you know what I'm saying, making your shit, I suggest you start running lanes because it's open.
Run them lanes. You know what I mean? Speaking of running lanes, where you going to be at this week? Vlad, where you going to be at?
I'm at the Improv on Friday, Hollywood Improv on Friday. In the Comedy Magic Club, I believe, as well. And then I'm going to Michigan next week, but I'll drop the information on the podcast. And then I'm doing some stuff for the Democratic Convention, I think, too, up in Democratic event up in Philly at some point.
All right.
I'll let you guys know. And then Montreal. All
right, all right.
So we in the lab, man. We dropping this McDonald's content that we produced for the Essence Fest this weekend. Dropping new 306 Late with Baby Smith on there this week, coming out tomorrow. And shit, that's where you can catch me on the Thorough TV.
All right. Well, I'm going to be in back. We're still filming Comedy Knockout. We're jumping into the second week of film. It's been pretty good so far. Tonight, actually, not even tonight. Last night, I was on Guy Code versus Girl Code. We back on that. They had me in a tight-ass trapeze outfit. Looked like I got sponsored by Reynolds Wrap. So maybe I chose the wrong lane to hustle on. But beyond that, on a good Saturday, July 9th, I will be at the Stand on the 8 o'clock and the 10 o'clock show. And beyond that, you can see us back here on In the Conversation. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Yeah.
Here.
To be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.